Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Willie and D-Mace, coming into the final hour, our question for the next couple segments. After a couple weeks of practice, first week in pads, is your thought right now that they are better than they were last year? Let's just take some baby steps. They weren't very good last year. That's why there's a new coach. 6-11. Mm-hmm. I do think the answer could be they may be better. The record may not necessarily be better. I think that is possible.
Personnel-wise, they're better.
D-Mace is painting the picture. He thinks that they are clearly better than last year. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think personnel-wise. Personnel-wise.
Injuries are the huge, huge piece of this that we are not going to know until they play. Mm-hmm. So we're throwing it out to the audience. 615-737-1025 on our call and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're going to read some of your texts here in a moment. But first, D-Mace, we haven't really talked about this on the show. If you're able to watch us on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook Live, there is a bobblehead of Derek Mason as a Raven. And I just said this. I had never said this to you before, D-Mace. Uh-huh. I didn't want to offend you or anything. Yeah. But
no, you wouldn't have offended me.
That doesn't look like you
it
at all.
It doesn't look like okay. me, not
I was gonna
one
say
bit.
Thing. Oh, man.
I don't know who this dude is. I have no idea who this dude is.
Let's take a picture of this and tweet it out, too, for people that aren't watching us right now. But first of all, I know it's a bobblehead, but it just doesn't remind me of you at all. Like, sometimes you're like, okay, that doesn't exactly look like the person, but at least I know who it is. Like, if you covered up the number, I would be like, who is that guy?
Yeah, this doesn't – not people.
When did that come out?
This, I got this – 2000, it may have been 2008, somewhere around there. They made a bunch of these bobbleheads in Baltimore, and they were passing them out. And I have a box full of them. It doesn't look like me, but I like to keep it anyway. It's just a representation.
Well, not everybody has a bobblehead.
Yeah, not everybody has a bobblehead made with a actual NFL team.
Did they show it to you before they came out with
it? Hell no, they didn't show it because I would have quickly told them, like, man, you better get this dude. Whoever this dude is, it ain't me. This some dude y'all probably saw.
Do you think they looked at the wrong guy? Do you think that
does
that look like a teammate of yours or something?
They probably did pick the wrong guy because there's no way, and I mean no way.
Your head is not shaped like that.
My head's not shaped like this. My eyebrows, my nose, my lips, nothing.
They didn't get anything right.
They didn't get nothing right, man. Gosh.
Honestly, they have the facial hair. I've never seen you have that facial. Did you have that when you were playing?
Well, I had the beard, but it wasn't like this. It wasn't a chin strap type thing.
It looks like a chin strap.
It looked like a chin strap, so... Yeah, and I've always said this about this, but I'm like, this doesn't look like me. But hey, they went about it, and they made the effort, and they made the bobblehead. But it's not; it's of Larrick Lason, not Derek Mason.
Larrick Lason. Larrick. I wonder who the artist is.
I would think
is
I'm more
that.
Handsome than this, but I don't know.
Don't worry, D-Mason. Yeah,
this is a common thing that happens with a lot of bobbleheads. Mm-hmm. This is one of the worst I've seen, I have to say.
Yeah, but let me see.
Like, there's a couple over there.
The only one that looks like them is Jeff Fisher, really.
The Jeff Fisher one looks exactly.
Like, Kevin doesn't look like him. No. Eddie doesn't look like
UC
him.
UC Soros.
Eddie, like, he has on lipstick. Like UC Soros. I mean, whoever made that look like he got on lipstick.
But okay, Eddie, I will say that Eddie, they got about 50% of it right. Like, his eyes are, I think
yeah,
that's,
I
like, I
and
would
then
know.
Then they got the earring. They got the earring.
I think I would know that that's Eddie George if you cover up the number.
But they need to take off the lipstick. Lipstick. That looks nothing like Kevin Dyson.
No.
That looks like Byard, though. That one does look like Byard.
The Keith Bullock one.
This all started
around.
Because I
looks
knocked
right.
Kevin Byard's head off coming into the
decapitated.
Studio.
I was like, oh my
God. It was
goodness.
Already decapitated, but it was
that doesn't look, does
precariously
like,
hanging.
Does that look like Pecorine? One is too small.
that is kind of a mini.
It's a mini.
No, that doesn't right. look like Pekka.
It doesn't like Pecorino at all.
The Vokoun one's okay. The Scott Hartnell one is okay.
That doesn't like UC Soros.
That does not look like UC Soros.
No, definitely.
No.
So, okay, word.
I can't see Keith Bullock. He's facing Nick. Nick, Keith Bullock look like himself?
Looks pretty good.
Not bad.
When y'all are making these bobbleheads, please consult with the person that y'all making the bobblehead, you know, for, or who y'all making the bobblehead of. Please consult with those people, because
how often do they do that? I do think that I have heard. I remember this was a long time ago with the Predators. I think they had a sample. I can't remember what player it was, and I probably shouldn't say even if I did know. But I think there was a Predator that saw it and said, "Can we try that again?"
I'd have damn sure told them to try it again.
I think you should be allowed to do that.
The person should
have a right. This is for life, right?
Exactly. This is like everybody will see it because you're giving these out at games. So everybody, just about every kid I have it on their desk, or some, you know, parent I have it on their office desk or something. And this is not a good representation of myself, nor is it a good representation of UC, Pekka, Kevin. Fish they hit dead on, I think. But yeah.
Jeff Fisher looks that definitely, you know who that is.
If y'all, whoever making these bobbleheads, please consult with the people.
Okay, so if we had to get a batting average on what percentage of bobbleheads are accurately depicting the person with the face, I wonder what people would say.
I would say it's
less than 50%?
Yeah, less than 50%, yeah. I would say it's less than 50%. It depended on which company is making them. You know what I'm saying? Depending on which company is making it and who they're making it of.
Dylan on the text line says, is it Merrick Dason?
Yeah, it could be Merrick
Not
Dason.
Not Derek Mason.
It could be Merrick Dason. You're right about that one. It's anybody but me.
And another texter says, that looks more like Popeye Jones. And he sent a picture of Popeye Jones. I'm going to say it.
It looks like Popeye?
It could pass for Popeye Jones.
Man, well, maybe
Seth
they
Jones'
would look
dad,
at, yeah, Seth Jones'
who
dad.
Who played at Murray State, right? Way back and played a ton of years
in the league.
NBA.
In the
he probably
NBA
played
as well.
10 years in the league at least. Became a coach.
Big fella.
Yeah. Popeye Jones.
Yeah, but this doesn't look like me. Not one bit. Like I got, like somebody overdid my forehead with Botox, making my eyebrows stick up. That's not me.
615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on our discussion. We're asking the question, are the Titans better than they were last year? What's your initial feeling? Here we are August 1st. We've got a ways to go. But that would be a goal for the season in a very general sense. Be better than you were last year. Mm-hmm. With hopes that you can take another leap in the coming years. Another side programming note here. Chase and Big Joe caught up with Arthur Smith, now with the Pittsburgh Steelers on their staff, after being let go by the Falcons. Of course, he had great success as the Titans offensive coordinator. And they will play the full interview, I'm guessing, on tomorrow's show. Do we have a time for that yet, Nick?
Yes, sir, 10:30.
10:30, they'll play that tomorrow. But we're going to play you just a little clip of it later in the hour, too, about some comments he had about Ryan Tannehill. So I think you'll enjoy hearing that, so stay tuned for it.
what, Willie?
A texter says on our text line, good luck with these bobbleheads. They're coming from, from China. Insert the President Trump's voice, or I guess the SNL imitators China. Of President Trump's voice. China?
China. These bobbleheads came from China.
Hey, let's start. We're going to make some people mad. Yes, man. Can't make fun of him, man. Can't make fun of him. Well, you can. I don't mind it, not one bit.
If you missed
make
on the
fun
Jason
of anybody.
Joe show, they had a comedian on earlier. Did he was they? Really good. He had to both impersonations of Trump and Biden. It was pretty funny.
Oh, boy. Wes says, laughing out loud, have you ever seen a George Lopez bobblehead? I have not.
No.
The head on that thing typically just falls forward because it's such a giant head. I mean, we expect the head to be a little bit bigger. I do think they made your guy's head just way too big.
Yeah, the head is too big. The face doesn't resemble me not one bit.
It's out there in the Twitter sphere, so people can comment. Hell. I put the picture out there.
This picture, man. Gosh. Oh, well.
I will say, though, before we get started, Willie, but like if either the Titans or the Ravens do it like a Derek Mason day, I feel like they need to do a bobblehead.
Yeah, they do.
Redo.
Thank you. Thank you, Nick. I appreciate
that. Well, the Titans do have a chance to one-up the Ravens bobblehead by making a Titans Derek Mason bobblehead where they can make him
pass
look a lot
the beginning of the game.
More accurate. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. That's a challenge. Absolutely. Issuing the challenge. You could have two bobbleheads. How many people would have two bobbleheads? That's another exclusive club.
Yeah, I would be in an exclusive club.
See? Mm.
You might as well make the bobblehead of your, you know, your franchise leading receiver. Why not?
Think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea as well.
Great idea.
Great idea to me. Thanks, Nick. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're all right.
Willie?
We're rolling.
Let's go.
Just sideline, Pat.
Okay.
Definitely.
If you missed D. Mace's commentary during the last hour, he got optimistic. Mm-hmm. You got very optimistic. You went down position group by position group and asked, are they better than they were last year? You have a resounding yes, and your caveat is they've got to get much more fortunate keeping their best players on the field. Exactly. That has crushed the last 2 years. The depth I worry about, you know you're going to have a certain amount of injuries, but I can see a pathway to contending for a flat division where maybe you sneak in with 10 wins. That's a best-case scenario to me. I don't know if that's actually going to – I'm not going to go out on a limb and say this is actually what they're going to do. I'm not there yet. Here are some reactions. We had some people say that D. Mace is out to lunch here. I got to find the one. We read one at the end of the last hour. Do you really think that the top 11 on both sides of the Titans is as good as the Texans? They're improved all over the offseason. The Texans improved too over the offseason and already had more talent to work with. So that is the skeptic saying that you're being too optimistic.
I'm not. I don't think I'm being too optimistic. I don't think I said they are better than the Texans, but I would stack them up. If we're just talking about 11 on 11, I would stack them up with the Texans, and I'm talking about really, you know, from a defensive standpoint too. Then stack them up from a receiver standpoint. Now, listen, they got the advantage when it comes to quarterback. That's just the case. As we sit right now, they have the advantage. They have the best quarterback in AFC South right now in C.J. Stroud. We need to find out what Will Levis is. Is Will Levis is anything close to C.J. Stroud? This is going to be a run for Houston's money. The Titans are going to give Houston and Indianapolis and Jacksonville a run for their money. If the quarterback, Levis, is anything close to what C.J. Stroud was last year. They got three receivers that have put in work in this league. Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd, and D-Hop. They're not the fastest group of receivers, but they are reliable. And how they're going to be used within this offense will, you know, sort of, you know, allow their abilities to really show whatever, you know, those are, whether it be, you know, Ridley, you know, getting deep, even though I don't think he's a flat-out deep threat. He can get deep. Or is it Boyd working at middle like he has been the last couple of years? Or D-Hop just catching anything that comes his way? This receiving core, it may not have the speed, but as far as catching the football and running routes, you can stack them up against the other receivers, the other receiving groups in this division. Defensively, again, they've upgraded tremendously on defense, the Tennessee Titans have. From a secondary standpoint, I think from a defensive line standpoint, now, again, guys got to stay healthy, and if Sweat comes on, I think this is going to be a much better defensive line than what they were last year. Because if Sweat comes on, like you said, Willie, it's a trickle-down effect. Harold Landry, whoever it is on the other side, and then you got your backers in the middle that are going to be able to benefit because of Sweat and Simmons tying up blockers. And then you add in, I think, the key component is Denard Wilson. he's going to
You're a believer.
Yeah, I'm a believer that he's going to get this defense back to where we are used to seeing this defense. Aggressive, physical, smart, attacking, and damn good at getting and damn good at being opportunistic when the ball's in the air. I think you're going to see that with this defense. So if I'm just looking at 11 on 11, offensively and defensively, are they better than the Texans? Probably not. But if everything falls the way we all hope it does, Titan fans, then, yeah, they're going to give Houston a run for their money. I'm not saying they're going to beat them both times. But just like I said last year, Houston's going to give everybody a run for their money. I remember vividly saying that last year. I said I didn't think they would win the division. But I said, watch, Houston's going to give people a run for their money. Houston ended up winning the division. The Titans are going to give teams a run for their money if they stay healthy. That may lead them into really competing for the division as the season ends.
Chase in White Bluff reacts to the last texter and says, I think this texter listens to Jared too much. Probably based his opinion on Jared. The team is better. The coaches are better. I'm not even a Titans fan, so no bias. So that's a retort.
Yeah, it's whether it's listening to Jared or seeing all these rankings.
Well, you know, Jared's still on the toxic positivity kick.
Yeah, he's still on toxic positivity. He's trying to come over, but hey, he hadn't reached that point yet. He wants to see some wins. And I get it. I understand where Jared's coming from. I'm not saying that he's wrong. But if we look at this team, again, let's just go back. Just look at this team. If they can manage to stay healthy, and when I mean healthy, that all 11 on offense and defense are playing majority of the season together, why can't this team be the Texans of last year? Just tell me why. If Will, because nobody, the big question mark is Will Levis, and obviously the offensive line. So if Will Levis turns out to be good, let's just say good, doesn't that boost their winning up at least two games? If he turns out to be a good quarterback, a solid quarterback.
But I could also say if he doesn't do well, that could be a negative win or two.
You're absolutely right.
If he's below average or replacement level, as the term people like to say.
Yeah.
Right? What's the baseline expected performance of the average run-of-the-mill quarterback? Mm-hmm. I think there's a scenario where he's above that, and there's a scenario where he's below that.
Exactly. So I am, again, this thing, Titans can end up finishing last in the division. Again, I get that point. But there's no way you can look at this roster 11 on 11, offensively and defensively, special teams-wise, too, because they got their punter back, and that's huge. But you can't look at this team and say, oh, they haven't gotten better. I don't know how you can look at this team and say they hadn't gotten better. Now, we hadn't played any games, I understand that. But just the personnel alone. They've gotten better at the corner position. They've gotten better at the offensive line position. They've gotten better at the wide receiver position. Name me another position that we were worried about. I think they got better at the safety position. If indeed Adams can recapture what he had 2 years ago, if he's over all of those injuries that he was having the last two seasons, then that's a plus. So this team is a better team personnel-wise on paper. That doesn't always equate to they're going to be better on the field once the game starts. But there's no way, Willie, Nick, you can tell me, based upon last year's roster, which the offensive line, it was worse than horrible. I don't even know what's worse than horrible, but they were worse than that. You can't tell me, looking at this offensive line, just the name, that they're not better.
John Texan chimes in with you and says, how is this not an 8-win team? The roster outside of the O-line is very good. I don't know if I'd say that. You don't pay all that money for 6 measly wins. So he's saying, you know, 8 would fall into the category better than last year. Mm-hmm. That would be a step forward. And I do think the money spent is going to be a theme because they had no choice. Mm-hmm. They did a smart thing in that they didn't push the can down the road, kick the can down the road, and re-up or restructure Ryan Tannehill's contract, restructure Derrick Henry, restructure Kevin Byard. They paid the bill. They ate the big chunk of it, and so they had more money to spend. That is going to serve this team well. Mm-hmm. But they had to do it because they had so few players from the foundational drafts, the young talent that you are hopefully building around, they're having to compensate by spending so much money on free agency. So let's see. We got Billy on the line with us. Is that right? Billy, welcome to the show. You're on 102.5 The Game, our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Well, we had Billy.
We had Billy.
Billy, Billy,
we wanted to hear it because you said I was crazy.
We've got to hear this. Yeah, Billy, you got to call back because D-Mace wants to know why you think he's crazy.
Yeah. I will say on my end, it was pretty outlandish. I was like, oh, man.
Oh, wow. Well, call back in, Billy.
Call him back.
Billy, call back in.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get hopefully Billy and all of you involved in the discussion. Are the Titans better than they were last year? 615-737-1025, our phone text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All that money that they spent, what is it going to actually mean when they start playing football? Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of Willie and D-Mace. Back here on Willie and D-Mace, here on 102.5 The Game. We just got a chance to watch Simone Biles live.
Greatness.
On the floor exercise, the final rotation in the women's all-around gymnastics. Wow. Look, we don't watch a lot of gymnastics other than the Olympics. She looks so much different and more gifted than anybody else. And there's some other great, these are the best in the world. What she does out there just looks different. Like that's always one of the great measures of the great players in any sport, that when you just walk in, you don't know anything about any of the players, the great players stand out and you're like, wow, that guy looks like the greatest player. That's Simone Biles.
Yeah, I think last I heard, she was the most decorated Olympian. She has 39 medals.
I think that's gold medal, 38. Is that world competition, world championships?
Like everything together. Yeah. She's the most decorated Olympian. And just think, Willie, 4 years ago, she was dealing with, mental issues.
Right. And she didn't compete.
She didn't compete. So just think, had she competed in that one as well, she may go down. Well, hell, if you're just talking medals, she will go down as the greatest Olympian ever. This young lady is just absolutely wonderful at what
we were joking about when you watch the Olympics and some of these sports, you really don't know what's going on. You're just saying, this is interesting. Just go USA and help me out here. Exactly. What's happening? What are the rules? What they say about Biles all the time is her degree of difficulty. She's doing jumps and twists and stuff that nobody else can do. Sometimes they can say that, and I'll say, well, I'll take your word for it. It doesn't look that different to me. She looks different, right? She goes higher. She does more stuff. She just absolutely nailed it, and so this should seal her gold for the all-around. That's one where, look, we've watched – I watch the gymnast every 4 years. Mm-hmm. She looks different than anybody I've seen.
Yeah.
So, she got a 15.06.
She only needed what, a 14?
She needed a 13.8 or something. She just blew away everything. And does that mean does Suni Lee get the silver?
Yeah,
I think so.
She's out there with her. So gold, because Suni Lee won the gold when Simone Biles did not – compete for the all-around in the last Olympics. So they were two gold medalists going head-to-head. So I think they finished first, second, I think. We don't have the sound on right now, but that was a heck of a performance. Because Suni Lee was great.
Yes.
But when you watch Biles go right after her.
Wow. Yeah. That's beyond greatness. So
that was fantastic.
Congrats to Simone Biles. Congrats to the gymnastic team as a whole. They won
the team gold.
Team gold, and now they're placing 1-2 in this event.
And if you're one of those people,
all around finals.
If you're one of those people that likes to go
home, Suni Lee is third.
Oh, she got a bronze.
Yeah, she got the bronze. Yeah,
so the Brazilian got the silver. So if you're one of those people that likes to go home and watch the coverage prime time and not know what happened,
dang it.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. We're just so happy over here.
We messed up for those people.
We're so excited. Yeah.
Sorry,
so
Jim.
But you got to understand, you're listening to a sports radio show, so we're going to tell you.
But, wow, I could not help. Sometimes when you see greatness like that, you're like, wow, you take note. 615 615-737-1025. Let's go back to our text line. We're talking a lot of Titans this hour. And we are going to play you that clip from Chasing Big Joe from Arthur Smith here in just a few minutes as well. Brian says, this team is far improved on paper compared to last year. My big thing is with a new coaching staff and unproven Levis, so many new weapons, and almost an entire new offensive line. I feel like it's going to take a while to gel. And if that's the case, I feel like they're going to start slow, which is never good in the NFL. Interesting theory.
I mean, you can't necessarily count them out if they start off slow. Say if they start off 1-3 or 2-5. They're still not 1-3 or 2-4. They're still not out of it. Do they have a long road to go if that indeed happens? Yes. But mathematically, they're not out of a playoff race or even out of, you know, winning their division, because if they start off that way, typically they're not playing maybe but one division game, maybe two, if that. They got to make sure they win their division games first. That will give them an opportunity to win their division. And then say if they win their division games, they go 500 in the AFC with the rest of their schedule, that ultimately wins them possibly the division or even put them in a position where they're playing meaningful football toward the end. So I just look at this team, you know, right now on paper and, you know, again, take it for what it's worth, because, again, it's still on paper. They haven't played anything, but I just think they are a much improved team from last year on paper. And I think from a coaching standpoint, they have a better offensive philosophy going in, and I think they have a better defensive philosophy going in. The aggressiveness that Denard's going to play with, because he feels he has the guys that he can do that with. You have two corners that can play man-to-man, and you can do what you need to do as far as the defensive front. So I'm optimistic about this team, but I also know that, hey, listen, no matter how optimistic I am about them, they still got to play games.
We have another texter that says, I've been a fan since the beginning. I'm predicting 8 to 10 wins. Going to hinge on the O-line and Levis getting closer to the ceiling. No doubt that there is plenty of truth to that. David texts in and says, Biles has one move that they've just called simply the Biles, because he's the only one who can do it. Yeah, that's greatness right there. Speaking of that, we've got Jack on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jack, welcome in.
How you fellas doing?
Doing good. Jack.
You know, I've watched sports for a long time, and I can remember when fellas like D. Mace and other great wide receivers would make some climbing catches and get up waist high or better on a D-back. I remember when Michael Jordan used to try and fly. But D-Mace, can you imagine? And granted, she's a small little girl, but can you imagine the power she develops to drive herself into the air long enough to do those things, and the skill to come down on 2 feet like me stepping up a ladder?
Yeah, you're right about that, Jack. That's what's so amazing about all of these athletes. And I know we're just talking really Simone Biles in gymnastics, but all these gymnasts, because if you made it to the Olympics, you're damn good. But the degree of difficulty for which Simone Biles sort of, you know, does her routine, it's like no other. And he's right. The power she generates, and the power you have to have in your lower body when you hit that mat to hit it and not fall or not take a couple extra steps, man, that's something that I don't have. I tell you that. But just all of those Olympians, gymnasts, whether you be from the U.S. or other countries, if you made it this far, you're damn good at what you do. But being damn good and being the greatest are two different things, and Simone Biles is the greatest right about now.
615-737-1025 is the number. There's a note that I didn't know. Simone Biles married an NFL defensive back. He's now on a different team. I think he's on the Bears now. Yeah. He was with the Packers
before.
They've
excused him for practice.
Yeah, yeah, he's actually over there to support her. Mm-hmm. So he's going to have to play a little catch-up, I guess, when he gets back home. But he watched history today for sure. Exactly. But that's a pretty cool story.
Jonathan Owens.
Yeah. Jonathan Owens is his name, yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll come down the stretch. And when we come back, we will play you a little portion of the interview that Chase and Big Joe just did with former Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, who is now with the Pittsburgh Steelers, spent some time with the Atlanta Falcons as their head coach, and I kind of think got a raw deal there. But we'll talk about him when we come back and his comments specifically about Ryan Tannehill. This is the clip we're going to play, because the whole thing, we want to save that for Chase and Big Joe's show tomorrow. That will air live at 10:30. Tomorrow on their show. Stay tuned. We're coming back with our final segment of the day here on 102.5 The Game. Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it. She loves to laugh. She loves to sing. She does everything. She loves to move. She loves to groove. Coming down the stretch here on Willie and D-Mace, 102.5 The Game. Had fun keeping an eye on the Olympics today while we talk a lot of Titans football. Speaking of Titans talk, their former offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, caught up with Chase and Big Joe. You're going to hear the full interview tomorrow. But we thought we would spend a moment just talking about him and play you a clip of this interview. Arthur Smith left the Titans, of course, after some outstanding years running the Titans offense that we can only hope that Brian Callahan and his offensive staff can get anywhere close to the heights of the Titans offense under Arthur Smith. He did a heck of a job, and it earned him the Falcons job. Now, this is why you need a little bit of luck, I think, D-Mace, when you become a head coach. He was the coach for the Falcons for 3 years. Mm-hmm. His record was exactly the same all 3 years, 7-10. But when he took over, that was sort of the post-Matt Ryan mm-hmm. days. Like, they had to transition out of Matt Ryan making the big, big money. And his first year, Arthur Smith, was Matt Ryan's last year mm-hmm. as the quarterback. And he just wasn't quite the same mm-hmm. as he had been. And so they had a lot of salary cap stuff. Remember, they were sort of hanging on from the window of making it to the Super Bowl a couple years prior to that, where they blew the big lead against the Patriots. So the following year, they had a transition, and it was none other than Marcus Mariota mm-hmm. after they drafted Desmond Ridder. So that had its limitations, even though Arthur Smith knew Marcus Mariota as well as anybody. And then they transitioned into Ridder last year, and obviously Ridder was not the answer. Neither was Taylor Heineke. So he had subpar quarterback situations all 3 years, really. Then they decide to spend a boatload on the quarterbacks this year with Kirk Cousins and drafting Michael Penix in the first round. Mm-hmm. And Arthur Smith, who was brought in as his offensive mind, doesn't get to coach either one of those guys. It's kind of unfair in some ways, but that's life in the NFL, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it is. And listen, I think a lot of people, you know, they probably was a little disappointed because they chose to go with a running back instead of trying to get their quarterback last year. But he tried to go with Ridder and you know, whoever else they had at quarterback, and it didn't work. I think ultimately that was his demise, that he couldn't find a quarterback.
Yeah.
And he chose not to draft one in the first round. You draft a hell of a player in Bijan Robinson, but this league is built on what? Having that quarterback. If you don't have that quarterback, I don't care who you have at running back, you're only going to win so many games.
And I think there was some salary cap stuff that he inherited that made it a little tougher to overcome some of these things. But I think, Nick, help me what we're going to hear here. Chase and Big Joe asked him specifically about Ryan Tannehill and what the outlook is there. Now, keep in mind, Arthur Smith is now the offensive coordinator for the Steelers, who have an interesting quarterback situation that he walks into there as they've moved on from Kenny Pickett, and they have Russell Wilson, and they traded for
Justin Fields.
So who knows how that's going to play itself out. But here's what he had to say about another former quarterback of his, Ryan Tannehill.
Are you as surprised as we are that he's not in a camp right now?
No, because I've talked to him about it, and I know where he's at mentally. And so, no, it doesn't surprise me. If I didn't know, if I hadn't talked to him, I would be more surprised.
Okay, so he's talked to him. Uh-huh. So he knows.
Spoke with him, and he knows why.
Well, and this is something we discussed earlier. I can't remember if it was the end of last week.
No,
it was off the air.
We discussed it off the air.
We discussed it on the air as well. But
it might have been last week.
Where we feel like Ryan Tannehill right now is the number one quarterback on the street.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. He's the number one option. At least you would believe he's the number one option. I think Ryan Tannehill, and, you know, when you listen to Arthur Smith, and he's like, no, I'm not surprised. He said that very quickly. Because he's spoken with them, which tells me he's waiting for the right situation. There's no need to, you know, jump on a team right now. Quarterbacks like Ryan Tannehill, they observe what's going on. They wait. He doesn't need the money. I mean, he's made tons of money. So that's not, you know, he's playing to win a Super Bowl. That's what he's playing for. He's strategically doing this to win a Super Bowl or put himself in a position to win a Super Bowl. So there's no reason why he should jump on a team right now just because they need a quarterback or a backup quarterback. If you need a quarterback, that means you ain't ready to be in the playoffs or even let alone in the Super Bowl. But if you are one of these teams that say right before the trade deadline or after game 7 or 8, probably after the trade deadline, your quarterback goes down and you're looking for that veteran that can step in right now. Now Ryan Tannehill can, you know, pretty much pick where he wants to go. Why? Because he held out long enough to be able to go to the team that he feels has a better shot at winning a Super Bowl. More than likely, it's not going to be the Kansas City Chiefs because we believe Mahomes will stay healthy, and I'm sure they got their backup. But it may be one of these other teams that are, you know, that are potential Super Bowl, not necessarily winning teams, but teams that can potentially get to the Super Bowl. Their quarterback may go down in the middle of the season, and they need somebody like Ryan Tannehill that could come in, learn the offense very quickly, and can go out there and be a highly productive starting quarterback. So I don't blame him for waiting. I really don't, because ultimately he's going to be judged at the end on whether he has a Super Bowl or not. That's what he's going to be judged on. He could be the perfect quarterback, you know, to come in and lead his team or that team to a Super Bowl after their starting quarterback got hurt.
It's an interesting pathway for both of those guys, Arthur Smith and Ryan Tannehill, because the Titans were at a crossroads when they discovered Ryan Tannehill, and he was the right guy for Arthur Smith's offense when Arthur Smith was a up-and-coming offensive coordinator and an unknown offensive coordinator who Mike Vrabel took a chance on, right? I think we were all kind of raising our eyebrows when he promoted Arthur Smith to the offensive coordinator. We were kind of like, okay, now they're venturing into the unknown. Can this guy call plays? And he did a great job. Tannehill was a big part of that. So those two have remained close. And looking at his arc as a head coach for the Falcons, his knowledge of Marcus Mariota did not lead to great success there. Mariota looked okay, but not his top level that he would have had for the Falcons to have success. So it's interesting, Tannehill intersection with Arthur Smith provided some really good football for the Titans that kind of came out of nowhere. I think when they decided that Marcus Mariota was not the guy, I think all of us, I remember the game. It was against the Broncos. They got shut out, and they finally put Tannehill in at the end of the game. And you're like, is this team just completely lost? Are they done? And Tannehill rescued them, and the next thing you know, they're in the AFC Championship game. Nobody could have seen that coming on that week, for sure. So I think the further we get removed from that, you're going to look back at that in Titans history and say that was a huge, huge turning point.
Yeah,
right?
It was.
For the better.
It was, because had it not worked out with Ryan Tannehill, they would have pushed themselves back some years. They would have took a huge step back had it not worked out with Ryan Tannehill. But as it sits, it worked out with Ryan Tannehill. They had some really good seasons with them. Once the offensive line started to get bad, then they had a few bad seasons with them. But I think all in all, if you are a team in the middle of a season and your team looked as if it was on its way to a playoff, and then all of a sudden your quarterback gets hurt, he can come in a la Neil O'Donnell, and for however long he needs to be underneath center, he can win you enough games to get you in the playoffs. And then depending on the team around you, he can make a playoff run, I think, depending on the guys around him.
Tannehill,
I mean, yeah.
But you look back, Ryan Tannehill made a ton of money because of Arthur Smith.
Exactly.
And Arthur Smith became a head coach in the league probably largely because of Ryan Tannehill and what he got out of Tannehill, right? Those two helped each other's careers.
Oh, absolutely.
On an immense
tremendously,
level.
Tremendously. He doesn't get – without Ryan Tannehill, really, and Derrick Henry, yes, but Ryan Tannehill as well. If he doesn't have the success he had with those two, I'm not sure he's getting a head coaching job. But this all leads me to saying that expect Ryan Tannehill on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think so. Sometime as the season ends, because if it doesn't work out with one of these guys or both of them, then having a guy like Ryan Tannehill sitting there waiting, already know the offense, he come right in. They got weapons across the board. Their defense is going to be damn good. I'm not sure why they didn't go get Ryan Tannehill to start.
But you don't think Fields would get a shot in
I think Fields would get a shot, but, like, okay, seriously, what? I'm not saying Fields is a bad quarterback, but if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, you need a quarterback that has done it, that has been there, that understands what it looks like, that can lead a team. Now, listen, I get the interceptions in the playoff. I understand that. But he was a damn good leader for this team, meaning Ryan Tannehill. So if you're Pittsburgh and it doesn't seem like it's working out, say, with a Russell Wilson,
right,
and then it's like up and down with Fields, he's sitting right there for you.
How is Russell Wilson's health right now, by the way?
He has a calf strain, I believe.
And those calf strains can be very tricky.
They can linger.
Yeah.
They can linger because you don't know how long it's going to take. There's different grades of them. For example, the Mets. I always comes back to the Mets with me, right? Just like it always comes back to food with Nick.
Yeah, exactly.
Comes back to the Mets with me. Kodai Senga, their best pitcher, was on the DL for months. He finally got back and pitched. He strained his calf against the Braves, and he's pitching great. Now he's out for, they think, the rest of the regular season. So a calf strain may not sound serious, but if it's significant enough, it could be months. I don't know what it's going to be like with Wilson. I don't know.
Well, it's the same thing. You drop backs, everything. You're putting up a lot of pressure on your calf muscles. You are. So they're going to have to bring him back slowly, because if you want to have this as a quarterback competition, or if you're looking at Russell Wilson and he's your starter, then you got to bring him along slowly. You can't just throw him back out there when he's dealing with a strained calf muscle. But then again, the longer he sits out, the better it is for Fields. But my thing is, if they don't feel that neither one of these guys are working for them, then Ryan Tannehill is the guy. I think he's going to stay out until Pittsburgh needs him, or Pittsburgh stay healthy, then he's going to sign with another team that's in a playoff spot.
Exactly. So you really think that Tannehill could end up on the Steelers?
Absolutely.
I think he can.
I said it last week. I'll reiterate what Dima's saying. Exactly. I think there's a
ceiling. Even though they have two new quarterbacks this year.
But neither one of those quarterbacks in the last couple of years have proven anything. Russell Wilson has gotten word. Well, he was okay. He was much better last year, but he's still not that guy he used to be. And then Justin Fields, you don't know what you're going to get.
I think he will play, but I don't think it'll be the Steelers. We'll see. He is the Ghostbusters right now. He is the guy waiting for the call. Who are you going to call? He's the best quarterback on the street. Ryan Tannehill. But he said he's not going to just go play for anybody. He wants to play for a team that's got a chance to win.
Ryan Tannehill, assemble. Coach, I'm right here. I'm sitting right,
right here.
I'm right here.
Arthur Smith, give me a call. All right, that full interview is going to play tomorrow at 10:30. Arthur Smith with Jason Big Joe. Stillman and Company, coming up next here on 102.5 The Game. We're back with you tomorrow at 11.
Be love. Love on your people. Love on your neighbors. Have a wonderful and blessed Thursday and peace.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.